I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A, and very happy to welcome back to our studios a band that's played in Duluth several times before. I've never happened to be able to get them in the studio. Really excited to have them here now. They are the Barley Jacks. Welcome.
Thanks so much, Christine.
And that is Brian Wicklund, and you're the founder of this band, right?
Indeed, I am, yeah.
Yeah, and you've been at it for quite some time. And you're all in town this time for the Cabin Fever Festival, which is a fun annual event here in Duluth. All sorts of bluegrass and bluegrass-related tunes, all old-time music. And it all kicks off today. In fact, right at this moment, there is a Flat and Scruggs jam happening at the ballroom foyer at the Radisson Hotel. More jams coming up. In fact, Mike, who is playing guitar here, he's going to be doing a jam at 4 o'clock, right?
That's right, yeah.
Mike Kramer, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
And then there is a happy hour this afternoon, 3 to 6, at the Radisson at the pub. And then the Friday night concert kicks off tonight at 7, and you all are playing at 9. And then Keith, who is the bass player here today, welcome, Keith. He's going to be doing a bass workshop tomorrow afternoon at the Radisson. They do workshops all day at 11:20. It says 11:20 p.m., but I'm assuming it's 11:20 a.m.
It's in the morning. That's when I'll be there.
And then, Brian, you have a fiddle workshop at 12:40. So
I do.
And so all sorts of stuff, way more than I can possibly mention, but lots of cool things going on. There's a dance going on both nights at the Harbor City School. And you can find out more information if you look for the Cabin Fever, Bluegrass Cabin Fever event on Facebook, or you can find their website as well. And I'll try and find something more specific on that for when we wrap this up and to direct people, because there's just so much information and so many fun things going on. I want to make sure that people find that. Well, welcome. Really excited to have you here. Why don't you get started with a song, and then we'll come back and find out a little bit more about you. What do you want to play?
Sounds good. We're going to do one, a new one, brand new one, called Coming Down the Mountain.
Let the stars and the moonlight ease my troubled mind. Well, there's no more sorrow, no more blues coming down the mountain to you. Now, my friend, I long to hold you, darling, in my arms again. Well, there's no more sorrow, no more blues coming down the mountain to you.
Elder the Barley Jacks live from Studio A and a new tune. So I'm going to assume that, so I've heard a rumor that you might be working on a new album. So is it fair to assume that one might make it onto the album?
Yes, it is fair to assume that. Yep, indeed. Yeah, we're hoping to have it out towards fall. And we'll be recording through the summer. And we've, if the last recording was a baby, that baby would be a first grader right now. So it's high time to get moving on it.
Yeah, it's been a little while. And I think you've had some personnel changes in the band since then,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And I mentioned that there's another member that's not here today. You just want to do a shout out to him, even though apparently he's in Rome. And so he won't, or in, where is he?
Yeah, he's in Rome.
Yeah, so he's probably not going to hear it, but do we want to do a shout-out to him?
Yeah, Joel Arpin, great drummer. He's been with the band since the get-go, too, yeah. So we miss him when he's not here, that's for sure, but with these guys, we can certainly cover it for sure.
So Joe was in the band with you from the beginning, but I don't think these two were, right?
That's right. So on guitar, this guy, he comes from Iowa originally and lives in Minneapolis. Just fantastic jazz and bluegrass players, just amazing. This is Mike Kramer. And then on bass, the newest member of the Barley Jacks, and he's actually an alum of UMD, of their music program.
Nice. Yeah. So this hall is very familiar to you.
This is Keith Giannis, yeah. Yeah, what's it like being back in school here, man?
It's great. I just handed in a late assignment just a few minutes ago. So I'm
did you just stop and say hi to Billy Barnard?
No, he wasn't in the office today. I did go check, though.
Yeah. Of course.
I had to Ryan Frain.
Oh, nice, yeah. Nice. Well, that's great. Welcome back to the hallway. That's so fun. Well, so, Brian, so you tell me about the beginning. Like, you have been doing this kind of music for a very long time, and I do want to mention one thing, because when I was doing a little research on you for this, the thing that made me go, oh my gosh, this guy is a rock star, is that you have your own Mel Bay book.
Yeah. Got seven of them. Yeah.
Holy cow. Because, you know, anybody who's ever tried to learn an instrument knows Mel Bay. Uh-huh. And so once somebody gets to that level where they're the teacher and not the... When you were learning, because you started pretty young learning the fiddle, did you use any Mel Bay?
Yes, you know, matter of fact, I did. There were a few books that I got that, but you know, I think even though they were good books, I learned most of what I know in back alleys of bluegrass, you know, basically. So in jam sessions and parking lot picking and, listening to a lot of records and asking a lot of questions. So,
and you started when you were quite young. Was there music in your house that inspired that, or did you find it somewhere else?
I started with the Suzuki Violin Method I was seven.
Oh, okay.
But it was a bit of a flunky, and didn't practice that much. Loved it. I had a great teacher. But when I was nine, I heard bluegrass for the first time, and my dad and I were both smitten with the music, and he bought a banjo and started to teach himself Scruggs style, really pretty badly, but we started going to bluegrass jams in the Twin Cities area, and then he switched to bass, and then we were in a band together through junior high and a bit of high school, and so that kept it going. It was great. He's a musician as an avocation for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But he could also drive, which was really important.
Yeah. And he probably is incredibly proud of you and what you've accomplished on the instrument and on the fiddle, and now you're playing mandolin.
Yeah.
But you started with fiddle, right?
I did, yep.
So how much do you play mandolin?
Well, more and more. Mm-hmm. The direction of the band has been in the last few years towards songwriting, and the mandolin lends itself a little easier to songwriting for me. It's the instrument of choice when I'm going to write. So I grab that one more than the fiddle for writing lyrics and things. So I've been playing mandolin for a very long time, but as kind of one of my more main focuses just of late, really.
Nice. Yeah. Well, and you have worked with a lot of other people as well. So you do your own music in this band, but you have been touring musician with all sorts of people, right?
Yeah.
So tell me about that. How long have you been doing that?
I suppose right out of college, I joined a band called Stony Lonesome, which was a band that was on Prior Home Companion quite a bit in its day, and had some legs in, is sort of a big fish in a small pond in mm-hmm. Minnesota, and I was with those guys for about 7 years, and then started doing a lot more touring with bands, a number of which were in the Bay Area. Kathy Kalick is a great singer-songwriter from that area. Judith Edelman, and also Chris Stewart Band. So we did a fair bit of national and international travel. And then I had 6 years in Lori Lyne's Pop Chamber Orchestra as well with mm-hmm. a lot of really great players. So, yeah, I guess that's been kind of the overview of my
nice.
Career.
So what do you, when you do kind of work with other people, what do you bring back from that? What do you learn from that to bring back to your own project?
Wow, that's a good question.
And even it could just be like the logistics of being a touring band, or you know, any of that kind of stuff, or
well,
musically.
Yeah, I mean,
or
it's pretty deep, isn't it? I mean, there's musically, with everyone that I play, I gain some new insight or a different approach to songwriting. Ben Winship, I noticed you've got some of his work here in the library. He and I played in a band called Brother Mule together for a long time, and he's a great songwriter, and he really inspired my work a lot. But then also the act of running a business of a band is, you know, a small business that's related to that, and promotion and all of the things that are involved in keeping the thing afloat. I learn a lot from my colleagues and people that I've been sidemen for.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you've kind of gone through that transition of when everything started to become digital and the whole model changed for doing music.
Oh, yeah.
So was that kind of an adjustment to figure out how to navigate that with your music?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm still, there's still so much to learn about, like this next project about, you know, I'm sure we'll put it out in CD, but then digital media is going to be increasingly important. And you know, putting the project together, knowing that most people are going to listen to it digitally and through, you know, a service, probably Spotify or iTunes or something. So that it changes the old paradigm of the album that you put on and you listen from, it's designed to listen from the beginning to the end. You know, that it's worth thinking about that in greater depth as to, is that the way people really be listening to it or not?
Right. Yeah. And for me, you know, being the age that I am, it's hard to make that adjustment. Like, why wouldn't people still want albums? I don't understand.
Exactly.
But you have to kind of wrap your head around a new generation, new way of doing things.
Yeah.
So when did this band start, the Barley Jacks?
It's been about, I think it's been 8 years-ish, 9 maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And so you've put out a couple of albums previously, I think, right?
Yep. Yeah. Either Side of Night and The Lighthouse.
Mm-hmm. And then it's been a little while, and was that just the way things worked out? I know there's been, you've added some new members to the band, a little transition. So was it kind of going through a transition and then, you know, waiting for that to settle, or?
Yeah, you know, I really wanted the next one to be really great and really represent the band really well. And I wanted it to be something that would be challenging for all of us, that would stretch us musically and come out with just a whole new statement. And I didn't feel like I had that for a really long time. And so really the last 3 years, I've been writing and writing and writing. And I have 2 CDs worth of material that is on our A-list, mm-hmm. you know, that we perform a lot. So it took a while to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, and especially with these new guys, it's going to be a great project. I'm really psyched to get going on it.
Nice. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, let's hear another tune, and then we'll come back and find out some more. What do you want to do next?
All right. Well, this is one that's a swingier tune that's inspired by my back entry closet that's just lined with all kinds of shoes, every kind of shoe. And so rather than, they're mostly mine, I'd rather get mad at myself, I figured I'd write a song. So this is it.
Some people will judge a man by the look in his eye, or the strength
of a handshake to size up a guy. When people gaze upon me the first time we meet, oh, they'll know all they need to know by the shoes on my feet. Some shoes are made for walking, some for running fast. Some might cost a fortune, but they ain't made to last. Mine ain't nothing special, why they ain't no big to do. Oh, the best thing about these shoes I wear, they take me back to you. Oh, they take me back to you, they take me back to you. The best thing about these shoes I wear is they take me back to you. Well, some shoes are made for summer, some are made for snow. Some are made for working, while others just for show. Some you wear with overalls and others with a suit. Oh, the best thing about these shoes I wear, they take me back to you. Oh, they take me back to you, they take me back to you. The best thing about these shoes I wear is they take me back to you. Lord, I've headed down a road I shouldn't go. But my shoes, they make a correction. No matter what the fix I'm in, they always bring me home. Well, my shoes ain't much to look at, sure as you were born. Oh, soles are wearing thin, and the leather's cracked and worn. Oh, they may not hold the shine like back when they were new, but you can always count on them to take me back to you. They take me back to you. The best thing about these shoes I wear is they take me back to you. Oh, they take me back to you. They take me back to you. The best thing about these shoes I wear is they take me back to you.
Those are the Barley Jacks live from Studio A. What a fun tune.
Thank you.
How about shoes? I think we can all relate to having way too many of those lying around. That's a great, great background on that one. So one thing about this band is that although you have obviously a bluegrass influence, you're not straight ahead. I mean, you have percussion, first of all, which I don't think is very standard in bluegrass, right?
It's not, yeah. Right.
But you've had that from the beginning?
We have, yep. Mm-hmm.
How did that become part of the band? Did you have like a vision for what you wanted to do when you started that needed percussion? Or
yeah, I love bluegrass, but I played bluegrass since I was 9 years old, and I felt like I didn't really want to have a straight ahead traditional bluegrass band, and Joel is just such a great drummer that it just seemed like things just got so groovy, and I just really liked where things sat. And in addition, all of the other members of the band didn't necessarily come out of bluegrass anyway, and so I felt like it it brought my songwriting and all the music that we play to it just a different place that I really liked. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, and you were mentioning like Mike has some jazz influences, and so does everybody kind of bring in their perspective into the band, musical perspective?
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And everybody's got music degrees, but me. I'm the least educated of all these guys. Mm-hmm. Like you can hear Mike's solo there, just full of jazz vocabulary and sensibility, and Keith comes out. He's a first call bassist for all these jazz cats in the Twin Cities, and so you can really hear that in all their playing too. So, and also everybody's just great at improvising. So every time we play, nobody knows how it's going to turn out. You know, there's a bit of danger. Mm-hmm. Every time we play. So, and everybody gets bored easily, so we don't play the same thing mm-hmm. all the time, you mm-hmm. know? So it's always right on the edge.
So how does that work when you're going to record a band that is like that and does a lot of improvisation and try to nail down something that when you do it live just changes all the time? Is it hard to do that?
Well, you know, the structure... We generally keep the structure of the tunes the same, mm-hmm. you know, so there's some predictability in that, but how we interact with each other is completely up for grabs. And, you know, we're all comfortable with a little bit of chaos, and so we can have multiple takes of things in the studio that are just, none of them are better than another. They're just all different, and wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then once you perform them live, I imagine they just go in even other directions sometimes.
Absolutely,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And just have a life to them.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have kind of that record, but it's not necessarily definitive. It's just...
right.
You know, just kind of captures a moment.
Exactly.
Nice. Yeah. Have you ever done a live album? It seems like you would be...
That's a good question. Not with this band, but... Mm-hmm. But that's three albums from now.
Because you already have two of them written
right.
and planned.
Exactly.
Well, and you were talking about how you know, before you did this next album, you kind of wanted to work on the songwriting. Did you have kind of an intentional way of doing that, of working on your songwriting? Or?
Well, yes. Intentional in that it's the first thing I do when I get up. So... you know, I'm a full-time musician, so I have the luxury of being able to structure my day how I want. And so, for me, the morning is the time. It takes me a really long time to wake up. I'm groggy for a really long time, and so I'll get up, have a cup of coffee, and go out to my studio and be groggy. But that is the sweet spot for my creativity. That. It's, you know, whatever percentage of grog that's happening allows me to let the creative muse happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and then also listening a lot to songwriters that I really like, and then dissecting what they're doing and seeing if there's some compatibility for a Barley Jack song. You know, that's inspired by it,
mm-hmm.
you know, not plagiarized, but mm-hmm. inspired by it.
Yeah, kind of pick up different ideas of...
For sure.
Yeah, I would imagine, like, if you kind of get into your own personal groove of how you do it, it's nice to kind of shake that up once in a while and see how somebody else does it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. Nice. So how does this band fit in with, you know, you mentioned that Keith is in demand, you know, with jazz bands, and you work with other people, and I assume Mike does too. So where does this band fit into everything else that you all do?
How does it fit into your life, Mike?
Well, I would say that it's probably one of the top priorities in the things that I'm involved in at this point in time, for sure. I think whether it's the Barley Jacks or Brian and I also do a lot just as a duo too. So we spend a lot of time playing together, which is wonderful. But then it's just being on the scene in the Twin Cities, and the Twin Cities just has so many wonderful, wonderful musicians. And I just am blessed to be in that community and have been around there long enough to have gotten to know and work with a lot of folks, and so I'm lucky to get calls from those folks, and so I'd say those types of calls tend to fill in the gaps, but this group is probably one of the primary mm-hmm. focuses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, my strategy is to...
Keith is nodding.
pretty much, carbon copy of my situation, pretty much.
Well, my strategy is to book up as many dates in as far advance as I possibly can so that these guys are mine.
that's a great strategy. Well, and you did mention that you have some coming up. We'll mention those again at the end of the remind me to mention those at the end of the session, but
sure.
You are looking forward a little bit. So you're kind of planning to do some recording this summer in a disclaimer,
yep.
maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And then a little, some more shows. So obviously, yeah. And is this kind of your main songwriting vehicle, Ryan?
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's my only... songwriting. I write instrumentals too, the fiddle related stuff too, but mm-hmm. But yeah, for songwriting this is it. Yeah.
So how long have you been songwriting?
Well, dabbled for a very long time, but really have been applying myself the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
It's been much more prolific.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. So going out every day groggy and to just yeah. making sure you set aside that time, is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Nice. Yep. And it sounds like it's paying off.
It is. Yeah. It's it takes me so long to write a song. I throw up a whole bunch of stuff really quickly but then the real work begins, and it's easily 8 hours if I'm lucky. To where I feel like a song is done, where
mm-hmm.
I've got it. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. It always seems like the editing process is kind of sometimes the main thing, uh-huh. except for people who are very prolific and they just kind of crank things out. And you're like, who are these people? How do they do that? I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Just seems to work differently for different people.
Yep.
All right. Well, we have time for one more. What do you want to wrap up with here?
Yeah. Here's yet another one I've written, and this is definitely inspired by this bluegrass. This is a But it's a happy tune, so I don't know if it really is bluegrass then. One, two. Well, I have climbed a great high mountain from the valleys far below. Well, I have walked out of the forest and the shadows damp and cold. Well, I have stumbled, I have fallen. Well, I have walked through doubt and fear. But I've come now to the summit and it's all become so clear. Like a river flows to the ocean, like the trees reach for the sky. Well, I come crawling, climbing, running, I'm dying to be in your arms again. Distant peaks so fair, and the sunshine warms my body. Well, I can breathe the sweet, sweet air. Well, like a river flows to the ocean, like the trees reach for the sky. Well, I come crawling, climbing, running, I'm dying.
many pathways. I guess I always knew this road that I have traveled has always led to you. Like a river flows to the ocean, like trees reach for the sky. Well, I come crawling, climbing, running, I'm dying to be in your arms again. Well, I come crawling, climbing, running, I'm dying to be in your arms again.
Those are the Barley Jacks live from Studio A. We mentioned what great musicians these guys are, but they sing too, which is those harmonies are so wonderful for this style of music.
Thank you.
So you picked some good ones there.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. It was really great to meet you all and hear you play here in the studio. And so again, the Barley Jacks are playing for the Cabin Fever Festival, and if you want the whole rundown, minnesotabluegrass.org is where you can find the Cabin Fever whole schedule. But it all is going on now with a jam going on. There are jams going on all afternoon in the ballroom foyer. Mike is heading down there to do a flat picking jam, so if you said, I want to play like that guy, get down there. And then there is a Friday night concert that starts at 7 in the main ballroom of the Radisson Hotel. There is a dance each night that is at the Harbor City School starting at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow there are workshops all day, more jams, more concerts at night. You guys are playing tonight at 9, tomorrow at 8:15 p.m., right?
That's right, yeah.
And then if you're still around on Sunday, there's a Sunday send-off. And that gospel send-off at the Radisson Hotel starting at 9 a.m. So all sorts of fun going on. And again, minnesotabluegrass.org is where you can find more information on that. And you mentioned that you already have a couple of shows coming up in Duluth later on. June 7th, I think you have one?
Yep. June 7th will be at Duluth Cider. And then September 27th will be at Blacklist Brewery.
All right.
So, yeah, those are a couple other opportunities. If you can't get to the festival this weekend, we hope to see you there.
Nice. Well, thank you so much. This was a pleasure.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Chris Harwood and Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.